ought to be reversed. That's what the great ones do. They shelve the perfected skills for a while and concentrate on their imperfections. The golfer Davis Love III was taught by his father to think of practice as a huge circle, like a clock. You work on a skill until you master it, and then you move on to the next one. When you've mastered that, you move on to the next, and the next, and the next, and eventually you'll come full circle to the task that you began with, which will now need remedial work because of all the time you've spent on other things. If you do this, you approach a state of mastery, which is the acquisition of consummate skill and technique. But technique is not enough, writes Jacques Barzun. Something more is needed, and perhaps something less. Take the music of Saint-Saëns. Here was a precocious, enormously gifted musician. He could turn out pieces that seemed as if written by Mozart, or Beethoven, or anybody he wished. But as Berlioz, who was his mentor, regretfully marked, the young man lacked inexperience. Every artist faces this paradox. Experience, the faith in your ability and the memory that you have done this before, is what gets you through the door. But experience also closes the door. You tend to rely on that memory and stick with what has worked before. You don't try anything new. Inexperience is innocence, naivete, and humility. It is a powerful ignorance that is summed up for me in an obituary I read of the All-American football player Ellis Jones. Jones, who died at age 80 in 2002, lost his right arm in an accident when he was 11 years old. But that didn't stop him from playing guard on offense and linebacker on defense in the 1940s at the University of Tulsa and later in the fledgling National Football League. I played football before I got hurt, said Jones of the accident that cost him his right arm. It never occurred to me that I couldn't keep playing. I guess I was too dumb to think I could not do it. Inexperience provides us with a childlike fearlessness that is the polar opposite of the alleged wisdom that age confers on us. The wisdom telling us some goals are foolish, a waste of time. Invitations to disaster. In its purest form, inexperience erases fear. You do not know what is and is not possible, and therefore everything is possible. It is that perfect moment of equipoise between knowing it all and knowing nothing that Hemingway was straining for when he said, "The thing is to become a master, and in your old age to acquire the courage to do what children did when they knew nothing." You cannot manufacture experience, but you can maintain it and protect what you have. Beethoven was constantly switching from one skill set to another. For example, he wrote 32 piano sonatas in his lifetime. But he did not write them all in one bunch. He composed piano sonatas at every stage in his career, early, middle, and late. Years would pass when he didn't write any piano sonatas. During those gaps, he turned to symphonies and string quartets and piano trios and concertos. He knew there was a difference between what you could accomplish on a solo piano and the music you could achieve with a full orchestra, and he reveled in the difference, and used both. Switching genres was his way of maintaining his inexperience and, as a result, enlarging his art. Whenever he came back to the piano, he would bring to the keyboard everything he had learned from the trios, quartets, concertos, and symphonies. That is why his 32nd Sonata, Opus 111, composed 5 years before his death, breaks your heart. Everything Beethoven had learned about musical form, ensemble, and masses of sound can be heard in this last sonata. Consciously or not, I have always followed one dance piece, successful or otherwise, by launching the next as far in the other direction as possible. I will deliberately follow a ballet for a large cast of dancers set to orchestral music, with a piece for a small group to pop music or a jazz solo. I'm not interested in repeating my experience. I want to maintain some inexperience. Giving my next dance a new set of specs is one sure way to do that. Moving from modern dance to ballet is another. Switching gears from concert halls to Broadway is yet another. Norman Mailer calls this rotating your crops. Each new challenge is a way to protect your inexperience, make you remember something you never had a chance to forget. When it's all done, you bring it back to your craft, stronger and wiser. Analyze your own skill set. See where you're strong and where you need dramatic improvement, and tackle those lagging skills first. It's harder than it sounds, most useful habits are, but it's the only way to improve. In A Book of Five Rings, the 16th century Japanese sword fighter Miyamoto Musashi counseled, "Never have a favorite weapon." Warriors know they need to enlarge their arsenal of skills in order to avoid becoming predictable to their adversaries. It's no different when the craft is a creative one, and the stakes are somewhat less than life and death. A photographer who can work with both small and large format cameras, in a controlled studio and outside in the real world, has exponentially enlarged his potential for developing his career. Likewise, a fiction writer who has mastered the short story and the novel form has more options available in telling a story than a short story writer who has never flexed his muscles in a novel's long form. When I'm considering my own skills, I break them down into categories. Musical skill. An understanding of musical structure and history. Dramatic skill. A sense of what will make people care, with a dollop of daring and flair that surprises people and qualifies as showmanship. Painterly skill. The ability to conceive images in two dimensions, which is very much like creating the balances and proportions in a painting. Sculptural skill. Adding depth and a sense of mass to the painterly skill. Psychological skill. Knowing the strategies and techniques to get people to do what you want done. Design skill. Having enough knowledge and taste to communicate.